101.9. I'm Lucy. I'm signing off now. I was just here with Corbin for Hempology 101. And next up, we have Salman with UBC Bike Kitchen. So keep on tuning in and listen up. Thanks so much.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news, as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Are you looking for a volunteer opportunity that fits your schedule? Being a big sister takes less time than you think, and you can choose the volunteer opportunity that fits your life. Spend just 1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister. Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
This is my life. I wake up in the morning, I eat, I sleep, I shit.
Breakfast with the Browns.
Whatever it is, but I never shut it off for 5 minutes.
I can't wait to impress my friends with my astounding knowledge of
cool.
Join your favorite Brownsters and tune in and listen to the best selection of down-tempo electropop lounge core.
Strictly Squaresville.
Remember, subtle, basic, Brown.
Breakfast with the Browns
on CITR 101.9 FM every Monday morning
from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
The older I get, the more life starts to make sense, and the less I care.
Now we're riding the rainbow across the and we're making it like him. Now we're riding the rainbow to Cloudsville, and we're making it like you. Now we're riding the rainbow to Cloudsville.
You know, you can give 100 examples of what it isn't, but you, man, you're gonna have a hell of a time saying what it is.
Thank you.
Guys, this is CITR 101.9. Lucy is here. Oh my gosh, That was the weirdest way of introducing myself. I am Lucy here in the studio once again. Samon was supposed to be here, but he is unfortunately a little under the weather, so I'm sticking around. So I don't know if people are happy about that or not. And with me this half hour, we have UBC Bike Kitchen and Co-op. Hello, guys. How's it going?
Hello. Going well.
Hey.
So do you guys want to introduce yourselves?
Sure. I'm Christine Park, and I'm the executive director of the AMS Bike Co-op.
And I'm Lucas Gallagher. I'm the manager of the Bike Kitchen.
Great. And can you just introduce to me the idea, like, what is Bike Kitchen and what is Bike Co-op, each of you guys?
Well, the Bike Co-op, we're a student club, and we are sort of the hub for cycling at UBC. And so we do a lot of programs. We want to engage people in cycling, and we focus mostly on, like, bike mechanics. We have a bunch of programs to help instruct bike mechanics, get people involved in the cycling community. We also do advocacy, outreach in the community. We just want to promote cycling to UBC, Vancouver, and get everyone super stoked on bikes.
And the Bike Kitchen is one of those programs of the Bike Co-op. And so we're basically a bike shop, but we do a lot more things in that region. We're mostly just services to the community. So we are a community bike shop where you can come in and fix your own bike. We can teach you how to do it. We'll give you advice. We offer really low rates to make things accessible. And we're just really honest about bikes. We're not trying to oversell people. So it kind of cuts down on the intimidation factor of getting started in cycling.
And CITR is actually a partner of the Bike Kitchen.
This is right?
This is right. And I went there in my first year and got, I think it was like 20%, 10% off or something. It was as a first-year UBC student, like, you're tight on money, and it was a really nice.
Yep.
So if you guys are a CITR member, you know that you can get discounts at the Bike
yep.
Kitchen.
Yep, every CITR member gets 10% off new parts and accessories at the shop.
Yeah, it's really great. And so that's a really cool partnership to have you guys on here and being a part of CITR. So can you tell me a little bit about any upcoming events or opportunities that anyone interested in the Bike Kitchen or Bike Co-op can be involved in?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to be releasing our program schedule tomorrow for our upcoming term, but I can kind of give you the sneak preview. We have some exciting things coming up. We have a new program starting in January, actually. We're going to be launching a new sustainability program where we're going to have once a month on the last Wednesday. We're going to open up the shop for people to come in and help us recycle bikes. We receive all of the donated bicycles from plant operations. So any of the bikes that get left behind on campus or get brought in by plant ops, they get given to us, and which leads to a lot of bikes.
Yeah, it's kind of a...
We have this shed. We have this shed that is just full of bikes ready to be taken apart and put back into new bicycles. So we're gonna have volunteers help us out on this. And the thing about recycling bikes is it's actually a great way to get into bike mechanics if you're new, because it's sort of the basics. Like, you're not trying to fix it. You're pulling it apart. You're going to see what's on the inside.
That's
and
cool.
Learning about it. So it's a really great way to get involved into bike mechanics for the first time.
Yeah.
So it's going to be the last Wednesday of every month.
That's such a cool idea of, like, learning how to put it together by pulling it apart.
Yeah,
that's,
it gets you comfortable with tools and how things are assembled. And
yeah, that sounds
what goes into a bike.
Awesome. And so that's starting the last week of January, is what you're saying?
That's right. And we'll do it once every month.
Once
so it'll always
month.
Be like the last Wednesday. You can just come on by.
We'll
have some bikes for you.
Just
to
all day. All day long.
In the evening at 6 p.m.
6 p.m.
Yep, 6 to 9.
So it's a nice, like, cool off your day and pull thin some things apart. I feel like that would be a nice way to end a stressful day.
Yeah.
Like, yank some things apart. And what do you guys recycle pieces, use pieces? Is that kind of the idea?
Yeah, so we reuse whatever we can from the bikes, and then we take a big part to recycle whatever is left over that's not usable. So metal recycling, rubber recycling, plastic recycling, kind of any sort of waste material gets recycled if possible.
Yeah. I said this before to Hempology, but I'm asking every club that I have in tonight about the culture of their club, and not just the culture of their club, but the culture of, like, what it means to be, say, part of a biking culture. Because I feel like there's a really strong biking culture in Vancouver. I know a lot of international students who come to Vancouver mention our bike lanes a lot of the time, because I feel like that's quite, it's a little different to a lot of people. So can you guys talk a little bit about bike culture and specifically culture in Vancouver?
Yeah, I think Vancouver bike culture definitely is taking a lead from some of the bigger cities in the world that are really promoting bike lanes and infrastructure like that. So we're a little bit behind places like, you know, Denmark or Amsterdam, but still ahead of quite a lot of places in the world. And I think the bike culture here is similar to where it is in any place. But bike communities seem to be really inclusive and really welcoming and really large communities where people, it's really easy to get in and meet people. And then all of a sudden, you know, a lot of people in town.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And that's kind of the way that the Bike Co-op and the Bike Kitchen approach cycling, is that it's something that's accessible. And a lot of people will have different reasons of why they got into biking, if it's for sustainability, if it's because of the affordability reasons. A bike's pretty low cost to run. We find that people really, really bond over it, whatever your reason is, as long as it's open and accessible. We find that people become fast friends over bicycles.
I've definitely noticed that. I like that. Fast friends over bicycles. I think that's so true.
I mean, there really is just nothing more fun than going out on a ride with some cool folks. So, I mean,
this is quite random, but have you guys seen the ad for the jeans made for women who ride bikes or something? I don't know if this is, but I think it might have even been. It was some women, and they did this kind of whole thing where it has the straps for your lock and for this and for that. And I think that was just kind of cool. And it's a nice tie into bike culture, because I think that's so cool that there is, you know, cute things to wear as you bike. And, you know, and this idea that cycling is about every day. It's not about, you know, oh, and now I'm going to just go cycle. I got to cycle to work, and then I go to cycle to school and pick up this and, you know, and grab my groceries. And it's about your day, right?
That's pretty interesting, because Levi's came out with these jeans they call the commuter jeans a couple years ago, and so they're specifically kind of like what you're describing, but they didn't make a women's jean, so they only made a men's jean. And so this is something that you see in the bike industry all the time, is kind of a really gendered, like, oh, men are the larger buying group, so we're going to make the products for them, and women get left out. And so I don't know if this is Levi's or someone else. I haven't seen this specific ad, but it's nice that someone is saying, like, hey, no, women cycle too.
Yeah.
We also want jeans that are comfortable.
And I like that they had, like, high backs, which I feel like, because women's jeans are, like, ridiculously low. And I feel like as a cyclist, I don't know if you can relate, but, like, that's kind of an issue, right? Like, you don't want to be, like, flashing people on the road. You know, I don't know.
I always feel like an old lady when I go shopping for jeans, and I'm like, the waists are too low.
This is not okay. Back in my day, you know?
Yeah, but in general, the gender disparity that sort of Lucas was talking about with, you know, cycling, typically, like, a lot of the companies will produce things that are very male oriented, because there is that precedent of cycling sort of a men's sport. It's for guys, you know, guys hanging out in the shop. And so actually that's one thing that we do at the Bike Co-op as well, is to address that. We actually do have a specific program. It's called Women and Queer Night, so it's open to both women and anyone in the LGBTQ community, because we found that they sort of face similar struggles and sort of getting recognized in cycling. And so the first Wednesday of the month, we open up our shop. Yeah, Wednesdays. we have a thing with sort of our once a month things happening on Wednesdays, and we have an ongoing rotation. But yeah, we have a women in queer night, and what it is it's basically open shop time for anyone who is self-identifies as female and or LGBTQ.
So a community of women and queer who can feel comfortable in the bike kitchen together.
Exactly. Kind of we open it up and people can come in for shop time. We have some volunteers and a mechanic from the bike kitchen there, just hanging out
to
help you work on your bike, so you can learn more and have a nice approachable time where you can just come work on your bike. There's, you know, it's just ladies and LGBTQ folks hanging out, and so it's very, like, a low barrier. Just come on in, work on your bike, ask questions,
exactly.
Any question you want.
Exactly. So anyone who's just kind of dropped in listening, we are at CITR 101.9 with the Bike Co-op and the Bike Kitchen, and we're just discussing kind of what it is, you know, so everyone here listening on 24 Hours of Student Power can know what is the Bike Co-op and the Bike Kitchen. So just on the same lines of what we were just discussing with the like inclusivity of women and LGBTQ, I find that's something really common with the Bike Kitchen. Like, you guys are a very inclusive community. The sustainability and the... Can you guys... anything you comment on that? Like, where that came from, maybe? Is that a cultural thing, or...?
It's a big part of our focus and our mandate is to make sure that, you know, we want to encourage people to cycle, and that doesn't mean only men. And that means just anyone. And if you go to a normal bike shop, it's quite intimidating to not be a man walking in there. And so we try to put an extra focus on making sure that those people who might not feel comfortable in another shop do feel comfortable when they come into our shop.
I also find, like, a man with, like, as you're sporting over here, with a big beard, and I'm imagining, you know, like, I don't know, some big heavy tools, and, you know, it's a nice idea, yeah. that it would be a safer community.
But somebody who's, I don't know, like a smaller woman who might feel intimidated in the space,
yeah.
I don't do the work when they come in. I encourage them to do it, and yeah, I make sure that, you know, everyone has a chance, and you don't have to be a big bearded guy to actually fix your bike.
The beard is not mandatory.
Yeah.
So everyone here heard it first at CITR that a beard is not mandatory to fix bikes. So just in case you were wondering. It's not, you know, I don't know if that was a concern. It might have been of the public. So anything you guys just want to talk about, any other parts of your guys' mandate for the bike co-op and the bike kitchen that are really important to you guys?
Well, I think we were talking before about bike jeans.
Bike jeans, yeah.
Bike jeans, like bicycle-specific clothing that's not just spandex.
Yeah.
And I think that's really, like, that's part of our approach to cycling as well, is that we want anyone to feel like they can just get on their bike. It's a part of your life. Like, it's not something that's just a recreational activity. It's not something that you just do, like, in the sunny summer weather when it's, you know, go cycle around the seawall. Like, we want to encourage people to incorporate it as part of their life. Because it's a much more sort of sustainable approach to getting around. It's healthy. It's a good way to relieve stress if you're a stressed out student trying to study for exams.
It's empowering.
Yeah.
It makes you feel good when you
get
down.
Well, and exercising, right?
Yeah.
And being involved
mental health.
In your life. That's so true.
And because I sort of work in the broader cycling community as well, with a lot of other cycling advocates out in Vancouver, that's a lot of the approach that is starting to be put out there now is, you know, cycling not just for the spandex road warriors. It's, you know, all people. Like, we want anyone to be able to know how to maintain their bike.
Yeah. Everybody, right? It's all about everybody. Okay, so we were discussing here about bike anthems earlier.
Right.
So I'm going to play Hey Ocean's Bicycle, because I feel like it's just very appropriate. So we're just going to take a little breather here and play a little Hey Ocean Bicycle. So here you go.
Hard and fast as I can go. The basket on my bicycle is hanging low. It's filled with things that I am bringing to your house. You said some strange things on the phone. I want to know what they're about. When I get there, you are gone. Your things in boxes on your lawn. And all the books you ever read are stacked upon your steps instead of in your room, and all your shoes are strung out on your neighbor's fence. Among all this, I find a note addressed to me. It says, leaving this place, not by choice, it's my fate.
I don't wanna hurt you, not trying to desert you.
Some people just won't cut out for this race. Get back on my bicycle, I'm moving slow. Never thought I'd realize the type of things I come to know. Some people just won't cut out for this type of life, to end up like their fathers with a house, a dog, two kids, a wife. The pressures of society are bound to get to you. I guess I'll have to let him go. Oh, I guess I'll cut him.
So once again, that was Hey Ocean with Bicycle. So I just thought that would be a fun little tidbit to have in there while we took a breather. So just as we went off air there, we were discussing a little bit about winter biking. And I feel like that's something that people struggle with, just the idea of it, they struggle with it. I think from getting from my house to the bus is enough of a battle. That so can you guys talk a little bit about what it means to cycle in the winter?
I think that when people glorify biking, they're like, oh, the sunny weather, the sun in my face, the wind in my hair, and then they don't think of the rain and the darkness and
the
leaves
sleet.
And yeah, everything that goes along with winter cycling. But most of the people in our organization, almost all of them, are year-round cyclists. It doesn't matter what the weather's like outside, we're going to ride our bikes, and it's something that's really accessible, and everyone can do it. There's just a bit of personal mental barriers to getting over that winter weather.
I think that's a really good point. The mental factor.
Yeah,
I mean,
you can do it.
Like, you will get warm again. Like, you can do this. Like, this is not the end of the tunnel, you know? Anything else to add on winter cycling?
Yeah, I mean, part of it's like, once you get into it, once you start getting like that experience with it and getting comfortable with winter riding, it's, yeah, like you get used to it. And it's good to sort of to keep it up throughout year round. Yeah, when I first started biking like every day to school, I mean, you start off in the fall, everything's going great, it's nice and sunny, wind in your hair, this is fantastic. And then winter and the rain, it comes so fast. But this year
fast.
That I decided to really start biking every single day, I just decided to not give up. And it's like when you first start getting over that initial sort of like, oh my gosh, it's rainy and it's cold and I don't have a steel bus to protect me from the elements.
Or I can't hold an umbrella, and I, you know.
Yeah, like once you get over that and you get used to it, it's actually great. Like you get that nice like start to your day of
invigorating
some exercise,
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you handle the like your eyes? How do you like have full visibility if say it's sleeting or raining? Or
this is one thing. People who don't wear glasses are always like, "Oh, I want glasses to wear." And people who wear glasses are like, "I hate wearing glasses." And
yeah, then you just
it's
get
kind of both
a
ways.
Big mess.
Yeah.
So is there kind of just perpetual problem with that?
The only thing that I found that helps is a cycling cap, one with a bill on it, and it's nice and short, so it doesn't block your vision, but it still just kind of keeps the rain and sleet or whatever out of your eyes.
Exactly. And you can kind of take a breather if you have a
couple you can
seconds.
duck down
a little bit, take a breather.
Yeah.
You know, bat your eyelashes a few times and keep going.
But it's one of those things you kind of just get used to mostly.
Yeah, okay. That's good to know, because I feel like sometimes when you're cycling, you're just thinking there's got to be a better way, but you know, there's sometimes like infomercial stuff, there's got to be a better way. But sometimes there isn't, right?
Yeah,
you just
gotta
suck it up.
Sell.
No product to sell. Nothing to push this time. It's just you just gotta suck it up sometimes, right?
Yep. There are little things you can do to make it nicer on yourself. You can make sure you have some good fenders on your bike.
Rain gear.
Warm clothes. Oftentimes
a
change of clothes when you get to where you're going.
Maybe a hot shower on the other end probably
always
helps.
Nice.
Cup of tea,
exactly. So just to finish off, we only have a few minutes left here, guys. Is there anything else upcoming, anything that any kind of average listener could drop in on or be involved in at the co-op or the bike kitchen?
I think one thing that's important is we're going to be shutting down in the next week. We kind of take the same student break that the students do, mostly just because there's less people out here on campus. So we're only open until Friday as a shop, and all of our programs are going to be ending at that point. And then we'll reopen again in January with all of our programs running in full steam. And we're going to have a lot of new things happening then and a lot of exciting programs in January.
We have workshops every Thursday. They'll be running up again. We have our volunteer night, our Tuesday ever popular volunteer night, 6 to 9 at the bike kitchen. You can come fix some bikes, eat some pizza. Those are on Tuesdays as per usual. But since we've talked about a lot of programs and a lot of things in our time here on the air, if any of the listeners there want to refresh or check in on our details again, bikecoop.ca. Just go to bikecoop.ca. Our full program schedule will be up there tomorrow. You can check it out, sign up for things, register. We'd love to see you come January. So come by.
Yeah, you guys seem very like, I feel like people would really, all of our listeners would enjoy spending
time
with you guys.
We just want everyone to be our
friends.
We want all of you to be our friends.
Exactly. That's so great. It's been so great having you guys on here. 24 hours of student power here at CITR 101.9. And remind the listeners one more time of your names. Don't remind me, unfortunately.
I'm Christine Park, and I'm the executive director at the Bike Co-op.
And I'm Lucas Gallagher. I'm the manager at the Bike Kitchen.
And thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
And have a great day. And so this is, again, as I'm saying here, CITR 101.9. And next up, we are having Evan, who is our improv extraordinaire. He's bringing in the Improv Society. So Evan's up next. And thanks so much for listening, guys.
Hello, good morning. Is everybody awake? I hope that you can hear me, that you can hear me, that you can hear me.
Yeah. I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Yo, this is Speech, and right now you're listening to CITR 101.9. Peace.
para equiparse.
Eso no vale.
Yo vine para darte solo lo que doy, mismo quizás lo mejor de lo que soy. Pa' tu ciudad a tocar, ahí me voy si consigo la visa.
El que acá vino y no toma vino, ¿a qué vino? Dando vueltas como un remolino, haciendo rap muy serio pero aburrido. Mucho tiempo underground como Bambuccino.
Dale, dale,
sal de tu agujero, vato.
Dale, dale,
que vuelen billetes alto.
Mami, mami,
mueve tus caderas harto.
Yala, yala,
y a la próxima nos vamos.
Esto no va a ser un rap suave.
Testosterona pa'l barrio.
Dale, algo pa'l club y algo pa' la calle.
Y si no tienes amor para el hip hop,
eso no vale. Esto no va a ser un rap suave.
Testosterona pa'l barrio.
Dale, algo pa'l club y algo pa' la calle.
Y si no tienes amor para el hip hop,
eso no vale.
No contaban con mi astucia. Tus rimas baratas las matan estas rimas sucias. Veo tu blin blineo que cuelga desde el cuello. Con tal de que un cuerazo venga a pelarte el guineo, eres patético. Materialista como plástico. Con este ritmo terminarás epiléptico en el hélico. Helicóptero, traseros se adelantan con el color del dinero.
Lo digo todo como un cuchicheo. Sin alzar la voz como chinchilla cuchillada. Tenedor pa' mi ensalada. De billetes verdes y diamantes en cuchara. Brillando como oro. Y sonando como coro. Brillando como oro. Y sonando como coro. Esto no va a ser un rap suave.
Testosterona pa'l barrio.
Dale. Algo pa'l club y algo pa' la calle.
Y si no tienes amor para el hip hop,
eso no vale. Esto no va a ser un rap suave.
Testosterona pa'l barrio.
Dale. Algo pa'l club y algo pa' la calle.
Y si no tienes amor para el hip hop,
eso no vale.
Si no conoces tu historia, tú no sabes nada. Core DMC y Africa Bambaataa. Hip hop universal es el movimiento. Hands in the air, DJs, MCs, grafiteros. Vieja escuela, chaleco de cuero. Gangsters, gangsters, casota, dinero. Afro, Latin, soul, hablando de negro. A quien no le gusta tener tenis nuevo. La prenda, la ropa, apunta y nota. Hay un problema con eso, pues apaga la tele. Que en el 2012, pues todo se vende. Cojo mi traguito, mi plantita verde. Fiesta callejera unificando la gente.
Esto no va a ser un rap suave.
Testosterona pa'l barrio.
Dale. Algo pa'l club y algo pa' la calle.
Y si no tienes amor para el hip hop,
eso no vale. Esto no va a ser un rap suave.
Testosterona pa'l barrio.
Dale. Algo pa'l club y algo pa' la calle.
Y si no tienes amor para el hip hop,
eso no vale.
The Late Night Show is music from the underground jungle and drum bass music. A quick beat tempo that smooths into the night. Later, as it winds down, it gets to your senses that it can finally calm the nerves and relax and drifts away with industrial noise and alternative no beat tempo into another dimension. Tune in every Friday night, Saturday early mornings from midnight till 6 a.m. for The Late Night Show with DJ Ray here on UBC Campus Radio, CITR 101.9 FM. And catch the following broadcast of the TZN Global Network, heard Saturdays from 6 to 7 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM.
This is Zach from Black Breath, and you are listening to the Flex Your Head Show on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, BC.
Thank you.
Ça m'a dit ça là-dessus. Qu'est-ce qu'il faut ça? Avant que t'arrives là.
sex, screwing, toys, porn, group action, love, orgies, gangbang, cheating, masturbation, doing it right, all up to you. The questions you need answered, the answers you want.
Got a burning question?
Velvet Answers with Velvet Steel and Jared Knudsen. The last Tuesday of every month,
8 to 10:30 a.m.
on Queer FM Vancouver Reloaded. Only on CITR 101.9 FM.
Velvet Answers.
Ask me anything, I'll answer.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from Vancouver, British Columbia.
Station tours start at noon, and we are located on the second floor of the sub.
The wind blew some luck in my direction. I caught it in my hands today. I finally made a tricky French connection.
You're always so caught up in love that you lose yourself inside it. Even when you think you're in control, you could never step outside it. 'Cause love's idea is dangerous, and it takes hold before you know it. You act in ways that you can't explain, without reference to its logic. But love is only affection.
Every little step, every little, every little.